chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 8. And out of reverence to God, please stand as His word is read. Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. At that time, Jesus passed through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick and eat some heads of grain. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to Him, "See, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." He said to them, "Haven't you read what David did when he and those with him were hungry? How he entered the house of God and they ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for him or for those with him to eat, but only for the priests? Or haven't you read in the law that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple violate the Sabbath and are innocent? I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would have not condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." You may be seated. Wednesday, we were looking at the previous verses of Matthew, the end of what we have listed as chapter 11. And we always want to read Scripture in its context, in the setting in which it's given, because a lot of false beliefs have come about by taking Scripture out of context, trying to get it to mean something that it doesn't mean. They just read part of a verse and not understand what it means in the setting that it was given. Now, one principle of biblical interpretation to remember: it cannot mean anything today that it didn't mean to them then. It can have different applications, but it doesn't mean something different. So we need to look at Scripture and see what it says in its context, what it meant to the people then, and we can look at applications for us today. And as our passage starts today, it says, "at that time." That's sort of like that "therefore." We want to find at what time. And so we look at the previous verses. Jesus is talking about giving rest to people. Look at verse 28. "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, a lot of people have not seen a yolk. You might have seen an egg, yolk, Y-O-L-K, but Y-O-K-E is an instrument that is put on the shoulders of cattle to pull between, to pull a plow. It puts the weight on their shoulders so that they can pull together, and it's a team of animals, two animals together. And Jesus is saying, "Team up with me." The way a new cow that was going to be plowing would learn to plow correctly, he would be teamed with an older, stronger ox. And that young ox, you know, it's just like kids. Young ones just want to go every kind of direction. Is that it doesn't matter what direction, as long as it's a different direction than you want them to go. They want to go everywhere. That's okay. They're exploring their environment. Well, the ox that's plowing a field should not be exploring its environment. It should be following the directions of the farmer that's trying to lead them to make a straight furrow. And Jesus is saying, "You're weary and burdened. I'm going to give you rest. You're going to plow with me. Join up with me, and I will show you how to get rest." Jesus has been talking about how the Pharisees were adding to what God had said to do and making it so burdensome that it was so difficult to keep the rules that the Pharisees had made that even the day that God had created as a day of rest, the Sabbath day, had become the most exhausting day of the week. Let me read you some of the things that they wanted the Pharisees and the other teachers at the time of Jesus had come up with. Their section of extra rules was called the Talmud. One section alone of the Talmud, the major compilation of Jewish traditions, has 24 chapters listing Sabbath laws. One law specified that the basic limit for travel was 3,000 feet from one's house, but various exceptions were provided. If you placed some food within 3,000 feet of your house, you could there eat it and then walk there, and then because you ate the food, it was considered an extension of your house. So you could then go another 3,000 feet and find more food, and then go another 3,000 feet. If you had a rope, you could string it across the alley or the street to the building on the other side, and that other place became part of your house. Certain objects could be lifted up and put down only from and to certain places. Other things could be lifted up from a public place and set down in a private one, and vice versa. Still others could be picked up in a wide place and put down in a legally free, but rabbis could not agree on the meaning of wide and free. Under Sabbath regulations, a Jew could not carry a load heavier than a dried fig. But if an object weighed half that amount, he could carry it twice. Eating restrictions were among the most detailed and extensive. You could eat nothing larger than an olive. And even if you tasted half an olive, found it to be rotten and spit it out, that half was considered to have been eaten as far as the allowance was concerned. Throwing an object in the air with one hand and catching it with the other was prohibited. If the Sabbath overtook you while you were reaching for some food, the food was to be dropped before drawing your arm back, lest you be guilty of carrying a burden. Tailors did not carry a needle with them on the Sabbath day for fear that they might be tempted to mend a garment and thereby perform work. Nothing could be bought or sold, and clothing could not be dyed or washed. A letter could not be dispatched, even if by the hand of a Gentile. No fire could be lit or extinguished, including fire from a lamp, although a fire already lit could be used within certain limits. For that reason, some Orthodox Jews today use automatic timers to turn on lights in their homes well before the Sabbath begins. Otherwise, they might forget to turn them on in time and have to spend the night in the dark. Baths could not be taken for fear of water that might spill on the floor and quote-unquote, wash it. Chairs could not be moved because dragging them might make a furrow in the ground, and a woman was not to look in a mirror lest she see a gray hair and be tempted to pull it out. You could carry ink enough to draw only two letters of the alphabet, and false teeth could not be worn because they exceeded the weight limit for burdens. According to these hair-splitting regulations, a Jew could not pull off even a handful of grain to eat on the Sabbath unless he was starving, which, of course, is often a difficult thing to determine and would be cause for considerable differences of opinion. If a person became ill on the Sabbath, only enough treatment could be made to keep him alive. Treatment to make him improve was declared to be work and therefore forbidden. To determine just how much food, medicine, or bandaging would be necessary to keep a person alive and no more was itself an impossible burden. Among these and many other forbidden Sabbath activities were sowing, plowing, reaping, grinding, baking, threshing, binding sheaves, winnowing, sifting, dyeing, shearing, spinning, kneading, separating, or weaving two threads, tying or untying a knot, and sewing two stitches. And I want to thank John MacArthur's commentary for giving me this list all in one place. And You can see his commentary back in, on the bookshelf. Check it out. It doesn't do any good. Gravity can hold the bookshelf down by itself. Take the commentaries out and use them to help you understand. But the Sabbath day had become such a burden. And it was because of the Pharisees trying to say, we can make things better than what God did. We can improve on what God says. We can tell you what God really meant. But two rabbis couldn't agree on certain issues. But Jesus confronts this attitude in our passage today. At that time, remember, that time is Jesus talking about, I will make your burden easier and I will give you rest. It was the Sabbath day. Now, the Sabbath day for an Orthodox Jew is sundown Friday until sundown Saturday. It starts at sundown on Friday, and the Sabbath is over on sundown on Saturday. That's the Sabbath day, because the Jewish reckoning reckons the day to begin at sundown and end at the next sundown. That was the day. We look at the day to begin at midnight 01 and end at the next midnight. But there's different reckonings of the day. There are some people that say the Sabbath can only be on that time. Other people say Sunday is the Sabbath. We are not worshiping on the Sabbath. We choose to worship on the first day of the week, and Sunday is the first day of the week, because that's when the church came together. That's when the disciples and others recognized that the tomb was empty, and is seen as the day when Christ rose from the dead. Scripture in Romans chapter 14 tells us not to judge someone else according to when they worship. Let's look there for a moment. Romans chapter 14 and beginning in verse 5. It helps I go to Romans instead of 1 Corinthians, because the verse didn't look right at all. Romans 14:5. One person judges one day to be more important than another. Someone else judges every day to be the same. Let each one be fully convinced in his own mind. Whoever observes the day observes it for the honor of the Lord. Whoever eats, eats for the Lord, since he gives thanks to God. And whoever does not eat, it is for the Lord that he does not eat, and he gives thanks to God. And Colossians chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2, in verse 16. Therefore, don't let anyone judge you in regards to food and drink, or in the matter of a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of what was to come. The substance is Christ. So, back to our passage. The Pharisees were determining that their most important thing, and we're going to see this as we go through the rest of the Gospel of Matthew, because chapter 12 is a turning point. Chapter 12 is a turning point because people have been looking at Jesus. Is he the Messiah? But then he's talking about things that they don't agree with. He's condemning the religious leaders. And we're going to see that the religious leaders decide that they want to take him out of the scene. They want to remove him. They want to kill him because he's confronting them with the truth that they are ignoring. Back to our passage, Matthew 12, 1. At that time, Jesus passed through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick and eat some of the grain. Now, what they were doing, and it's totally allowed. Deuteronomy 23, verse 25 says that if you're walking through your neighbor's field, you can pick and eat. Just don't take a sickle and start harvesting your neighbor's grain field. So if you're hungry and you're walking through his apple field, orchard, pull an apple down and eat it. That's okay. But if you carry a bucket in there and start pruning his apple trees of all the apples, that's wrong. But if you grab something to eat from your neighbor's field, that's okay. So the disciples were doing what Scripture allowed them to do. But the Pharisees had determined, if you pull a grain off, that's work. And then if you rub it together in your hands, that's work again. And then if you blow off the hull that you just rubbed off, that's work again. So three sins in one by pulling a little grain off the stalk, rubbing the shell off of it and eating it. Now notice what's happened. Verse 2. When the Pharisees saw this, now stop there for a minute. Where are the Pharisees? They're following Jesus, trying to find him doing something wrong. It's like that little guy sneaking around behind the corner, trying to catch somebody doing something. Well, the Pharisees are sneaking around, trying to catch Jesus or his disciples doing something wrong, because he's been criticizing them. He's been saying that they don't have the righteousness that is necessary to get into heaven. Jesus has often said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So they're going to find something wrong with what Jesus is doing. They're sneaking around. They were following Jesus. And then they complained. See, your disciples are doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath. The disciples were seen by the Pharisees. The Pharisees complained, and then Jesus explained. He says, don't you remember King David? You know, the one that you're always talking about, King David. He's the greatest that ever lived. He's a man after God's own heart. He went into the temple and ate the bread that's only allowed for the priest to eat. Now, let me tell you the situation there. This is when David wasn't king yet. King Saul was still king, but God had rejected King Saul. And David, even though God had said, you're going to be the king in place of Saul, he still went and served King Saul. He said, God will take him out in God's time. And he would even play his harp when Saul got in a bad mood, and it would calm Saul down. Well, Saul decided he's going to kill David. So David's running, and he comes to the temple. He says, we're hungry. We're on a mission, and we don't have any food. Give us some food, he says to the priest. Well, there's no food here except the food that's been prepared to be in front of the altar, and it gets replaced every Sabbath day with 12 new loaves of bread, and we have the 12 loaves that have been taken off, but it's only the priests are supposed to eat that. Well, David says, I'm on a mission. I need something. We're going to die if we don't get something to eat. So the priest gave him the bread that is only allowed for the priest to eat. Jesus said, don't you remember that? You're talking about David never doing anything wrong, but here, when he was starving, he got bread that he wasn't supposed to have. Something greater than David is here. And haven't you read that the priest, they work on the Sabbath day and it's okay. Remember that bread that's got to be put in front of the altar every Sabbath day? Well, it's got to be baked that day. The priests job is to bake the 12 loaves of bread and put it in front of the altar every Sabbath. And then they are to offer sacrifices that the people bring every Sabbath day. But they're not guilty of breaking the Sabbath because they're following God's command. And Jesus is telling the Pharisees, haven't you read the instruction book? Imagine you were in school. You come in and you have a quiz over what you were supposed to read over the weekend. Haven't you read your textbook? That's what Jesus is saying to the Pharisees. Haven't you read the Bible? It tells you clearly what you're ignoring. And then Jesus goes on and he talks about something greater than the temple has come. Look at verse 5. Or have you read that that on the Sabbath days the priests are in the temple, violate the Sabbath and are innocent? I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. And look on to verse 41, still in chapter 12. Jesus uses that same phrase. He says, the men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment and get with this generation and condemn it because they repented at Jonah's preaching. And look, something greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And look, something greater than Solomon is here. When I was looking for an illustration for that, I remembered back to Monty Hall. Let's Make a Deal. And on the show, Let's Make a Deal, there was always the big deal behind curtain one, curtain two, curtain three, whatever. And they'd say, open the curtain, and you won the big deal of the day. And there would be wonderful things, the prizes and won. Something greater than the little horse-drawn, or my favorite was the big rocking chair with the announcer sitting in it. It was a huge rocking chair, and the announcer would be sitting in it. And you got zonked. Well, you won the big deal of the day. Something greater than what you thought was the greatest is here. And Jesus is referring to himself. God has come to planet Earth. The Messiah has come. Something greater than everything that was pointing to it is here. And then Jesus explains why they're not seeing the truth. Look at verse 7. If you had known what this means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. If we look at Hosea chapter 6, oh wow, I turned right to it. And I didn't even have a bookmark there. Hosea chapter 6 and verse 6. For I desire faithful love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. Now, the equivalent is saying God desires that you follow what he says and love your neighbor rather than come to church. Which is more important, following God's law or coming to church? Which is more important, giving a sacrifice or actually letting your heart be right with God? God is saying the heart attitude is what's important, not the outward show. I've often said you can go stand in a garage, it doesn't make you a car. No more than sitting in a church makes you a Christian. It's God inside of you, not you inside of the building, that makes you a Christian. Jesus also is referring to Micah chapter 6. Micah chapter 6. That's right after Jonah. And verse 6. Micah 6, or if you got one of those electronic Bibles, you're way ahead. You just punch it in, you're already there. I'm still flipping pages. Micah 6, verse 6. What should I bring before the Lord when I come to bow before God on high? Should I come before him with burnt offerings, with year-old calves? Would the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000 streams of oil? Should I give my firstborn for my transgression, the offspring of my body for my own sin? Mankind, he has told each of you what is good. And what it is the Lord requires of you, to act justly, to love faithfulness, and to walk humbly with your God. This is what Jesus is referring to in verse 7 when he says, if you had known what it means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. He's saying, I desire inward worship, not outward show. The Pharisees were all in for the show. When they would pray, they would have somebody watching them. When they gave their offering, they would make the loudest noise when they dropped their offering into the offering plate. They were actually called trumpets, and they were sort of like trumpet-shaped things, and they would come down like a funnel, and you could make a lot of noise throwing it in. Well, they wanted people to see, and their prayers would be loud. Oh, God, thank you that I am not like that sinner over there. And that they would have their bells on the bottom of their robes so you can hear them coming. Ding, ding, ding. Here comes a righteous person. Ding, 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 ding. Look at me. They were all in it for the show. I remember when we were in seminary in New Orleans, we went to this church. Now, New Orleans is more humid than it is here most times. And it's not even colder. There were people competing with each other for the fur coats that they were wearing. In New Orleans, look at me. Look at how blessed I am. I've got a mink coat. You don't need a mink coat in New Orleans. Now, it might be nice and warm in Minnesota, but Thinsulate is even better. Yeah, Thinsulate, I learned, is my friend. Thinsulate gives you the thickness of the long johns about that thick and about that thick. They're wonderful. So that you can't buy it here. Well, you could order it. But when I got to Minnesota, we went right to Walmart, and there's the Thinsulate gloves, Thinsulate boots, and it kept me nice and warm during the time in Minnesota. But when we were in New Orleans, there were people that were coming to church for show. Other people have gone to church to be seen by other people so they can try to make a deal for the business. Look at me. Oh, come make a deal with me because, you know, we go to the same church together. Their heart attitude is not right. They're all in it for the show. Jesus says, if you had known what it means, I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. Two meanings there. They're condemning the disciples of Jesus because they're eating when they're hungry. And they're also going to condemn Jesus a little bit later to death. And look at what Jesus, and this really ticks him off. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. He just said, I'm in charge of the Sabbath day. So it's no wonder that we see in verse 14, but the Pharisees went out and plotted against him how they might kill him. Jesus just said, he is the one that's the ultimate authority. And the Pharisees, we want to be the authority. We want to be in charge. Of course, we would never do that today, is it? We wouldn't do that, would it? We would never look at what God says and say, no, I can ignore that part. I want to be in charge. I want to say what's right and wrong. We are just like the Pharisees. Charlie Daniels had a song about modern day Pharisees, talking about we're just like them. We are doing things like they did before. We need to remember God calls us to have a change of heart. He came to bring us peace. He came to bring us rest. We can never work our way to heaven. The only way we can get to heaven is through the blood of Jesus Christ forgiving our sin debt. You know, a lot of these Pharisees that were complaining about Jesus later became Christians. Because there's no one that has done too much to be forgiven by Jesus Christ. Adolf Hitler. We don't know if in the last moments of his life he confessed his sins to Jesus Christ and asked for forgiveness. If he did, he could be in heaven. Madeline Murray O'Hara, the one that campaigned to get prayer removed from public spaces, she might have confessed her sins and turned to Jesus before she was killed. Don't know. There is no sin that is too grievous that God will not forgive if we repent and turn to Him. But those that live a life that are rejecting the offers they're given of God, there's no hope unless God offers and draws them again. I haven't used this illustration in a few months. Imagine that Lana had made some wonderful cookies. And she's standing at the back as you leave. Well, she doesn't have it. Don't get your hopes up. Saying, here, take a cookie. If you walk out without getting a cookie, they're not going to be there the next time. It's a limited time offer. Yeah. Salvation is even better. God is offering each of us salvation, but if we keep saying no, no, no to God's offer, He's going to stop offering it. We don't know when the last time God is going to offer salvation and forgiveness to us. But we know He does offer salvation and forgiveness to everyone. Don't reject. You know, some people harden their own hearts. When Moses, make sure I got the right one, make sure it's not David. I was thinking this, as Dick was talking about missing a verse. I remember back when I was in seminary, I was preaching in this church, and I started out with David and Goliath, and David ended up slaying Samson. I don't know when I switched from David slaying Goliath to David slaying Samson. And as I said before, the worst thing is I don't think anybody noticed. But God will offer salvation to all. It is up to us to accept. But God comes to a point when people have hardened their hearts. Pharaoh, before Moses, God gave the illustrations to Moses. It said, Pharaoh hardened his heart. Pharaoh hardened his heart. Pharaoh hardened his heart. And then it switches. God hardened Pharaoh's heart. He had stopped drawing. Pharaoh had said, no, 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 no. And then God said, that's it. Your chances are up. God offers us salvation to everyone. He desires that no one perish, but that everyone come to repentance. But He's not going to force anybody into heaven. Stand with me for our closing prayer. Dear Lord, I thank You for Your love for us. I pray that we will not be modern day Pharisees, but that we will embrace Your truth and show mercy to others if You have shown mercy to us. Let us learn that it is not our way that matters, but Your way that matters. Let us follow what You say to do. In Jesus' name, amen.